Hebrews 10:26-39. We're working on our website and different stuff, but trying to get everything formatted right. It requires the taming of me, and it's like I'm trying to do it. So I want it to go well. I just see us not being able to use some social medias for church services in the future. I don't know how it'll come about, but I can just see that happening. So I'd rather. What's that? I just go home down because I didn't preach hard enough because they're not calling the house and, you know, we're not. Come in, stuff's burned to the ground or nothing, you know. It's like, you know, there's small fish out here, but I don't live in Minneapolis. I know that. I saw that lady, I just thought of my sisters, but it's like, man alive, worked somewhere 26 years, you'd think you'd, and she's one of the trainers too, but I was like, man alive. They're upset because in Portland, this guy that got in with the Antifa guys, they hit his car with some stuff and he got out and pulled a gun on some guys. Well, the police came and said, hey, put your gun down. So what do? Put his gun down. Put your hands on the ground. Get down, put his hand on the ground. And, you know, everything's solved. You're good to go.
Oh, they didn't kill him because he's white. I don't think so. I think it's because he listened. He listened. And it just so happens that everybody's got a rap sheet. Unbelievable. They killed a child, a 20-year-old man who had a warrant for his arrest. How about that? For a crime with a firearm. How about that? And people, the mayor there saying, well, I think we should, you know, police without weapons, you know. Yeah. Let's give that a go. But anyhow, glad I don't live down there. Amen. So I just pretend like it's another planet. Some of those places are just unbelievable. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews is such an interesting book. I love reading through and looking at stuff. I can see where some people read through and just think, what are we doing? What are we saying? It just gives me a lot of hope reading through it. We finished in verse number 25. We talked about the assembling of ourselves together. It has been interesting, and many of the politicians, pundits, different people have said it's been very interesting to see how little it's taken to take people's how little resistance there has been to people losing their right to just assemble. Like, oh, okay, I'll stay home. And now somebody say, oh, things over. Oh no, I'm going to stay home. It's like unbelievable, right to assemble. It's not even just for church. I didn't just write to get together, to share ideas, to communicate. I said, well, we just sit at home and communicate. They couldn't back in the day. They'd meet at the Grange Hall. Every town usually had a Grange Hall. You meet at the Grange Hall, you figure out what are we going to do. And it was this community. Then somebody would go talk to the leader of the next community, and you'd figure out what you're going to do as a region, and you'd have the right to assemble. And those things, people willing to give those up. And I'm not. We shall assemble. And, verse 25 says, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to come together so we can exhort one another. Father, we do thank you for your grace. We pray that you bless tonight. And Lord, we do pray for Brother Tom and ask that you'd help him as he recovers. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. And we just pray that you bless our lesson tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tom was a little late getting in, so he's a little late getting out. Yes, there's an emergency right ahead of him, so he didn't get to get started until a little bit later, Ms. Carmen was saying. But all's well, looks like just one stint, and she didn't give a whole lot of details. So I threw that out as soon as she sent it, and I'll let you guys know, because I know people have been praying. So thank you for that. 26. We go from assembling, exhorting, encouraging, helping, cheering each other up. You can do it. You can make it through Thursday. Right, we've been cheering for Brother Jesse. His wife's gone, and you talk about putting a hurting on a man. You know, I'm sorry. One thing when the wife's gone and she takes all the kids with her, that's one thing. But she leaves everything behind. You know. Anyhow, we go from that to 26. For if we sin willfully, how did things turn so quickly here? Right, And there's a break. If we sin willfully, well, why would we want to do that? Why would we want to do that? And people want to live on both sides of the fence when they follow Jesus. And I'm thinking, what? Why would you do that? Think about the things you've done following Jesus. Think about the things that you've left behind, as the Bible tells us, to mortify the deeds of the flesh. We leave those things behind. We don't go around resurrecting those things and saying, well, but if I just wish I could just do this one more, oh, I just want, whoa, wow, and I'm going to get back in here again? No. Sin willfully? No. 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. 26 is it's like Elijah being on the mount and saying, how long halt you between two opinions? He said, there's no more sacrifice for sins. If you're going to choose to go that way, there's nothing. Christ died on the cross. God's made the payment. You got to choose to receive it. There's no other sacrifice that's going to be given. We have a choice to make to receive that. 27, a certain fearful looking for of judgment, fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Now, I don't want to be God's adversary. Help us. This passage, almost like people going backwards, is almost the connotation of it. But I refuse to believe some of the doctrine that's peddled, that somehow people that have received the Lord can become out of the body of Christ. I don't believe that for a minute. I don't believe that. I do believe in backslide. I do believe people can slide back into the old life, the old ways. They can do some of those things. I do believe that. But I don't believe in this, you know, got saved 4, 5, 6, 7 times and then once again when I was left. No, I don't believe that. We have a choice to make, though. We do have a choice to make. The Bible says in verse number 28, he that despised Moses' law. Okay, so I had a choice to make. Am I going to obey it or am I not going to? Am I going to do what? And I was working with kids, working with my own kids. You know, they got to live. They got to survive the experience. You know, they got to survive growing up. That's the goal. You so badly want to tell them what they used to do to unruly children. I can't imagine those were celebrated, dude. Though I can't believe that. I'd be a pretty bad kid, but. He that despised Moses' law, the Bible says, died without mercy under 2 or 3 witnesses. And 29, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who shall trodden under foot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despot unto the Spirit of grace. That makes 28 look like a picnic. getting stoned. I mean, I was reading through Deuteronomy this week and looking at some of the stuff. There's some awesome verses. I have some oddball verses underlined in Deuteronomy that I'd never preached them. I mean, I don't know. Maybe in men's Sunday school. But you look at them like, Lord, why'd you put that in the Bible? Why is that like that? But they knew everything they were supposed to do. And they had a choice to make. They had to make a choice if they were going to obey. In Moses' day, we have a choice whether we're going to obey in the Lord's day, in the day of grace. And look at how the verse is finished there. And have done despot unto the Spirit of grace. Despot's extreme malice or violent hatred towards what? Blood of Christ, the covenant there. Why would we do that? When we have the Spirit saying, oh man, right here. It's not that we don't have the help. We just choose not to receive the help. I'm going to do it all myself, or I'm going to earn, or I'm going to buy, or I'm going to... And that's why you can never outgive God. Okay? You never outgive God. You could never be more lenient on people than the Lord is. You can't give people more chances than God can. Sometimes we think, well, if I'm not hard on them, or I'm... You could show grace. Show grace. God hasn't killed them yet. Show them some grace. And encourage them, because the truth is, when they're dead, they're dead. When they're dead, it's sealed. Like the choices that they made in this life, it's over. And I just believe in going till the last minutes off, the last seconds are off the clock. I mean, just go till you're done. And Lord knows, you look down in your heart, say you didn't give up. They finished behind, but you didn't give up. Okay? You always want to give people that chance and encourage them in the Lord and to choose the Lord.
I don't like,
some of our climate now, you get like fear mongering. Do this because of, And I just don't, when it comes to the Lord, I don't put it on people like that either. I just say, look, I'm saying, you've got a choice to make. I said, you live without God, you die without God. That's not good. That's not a good life. And that's not a good after death. That's not good. You don't want to do that. I say, but it comes down to the choices they make. And I've seen people try to make choices for people and try to encourage them in it. It just doesn't, there's no new birth there. It doesn't take root. There's nothing that comes from that. So we want people to understand fully, look, this is the options you have. Verse 30, there's always a relationship. And I believe this is Paul writing here, but that's me. Verse 30, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. He says, we know. We know these things. We understand. We know what he's saying. Vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. We'll go back to Deuteronomy 32 and read the reference there. And in Romans, it's also there as well. Vengeance isn't something that we need to dabble in. We need Lord take care of that, and let's work his grace. For we know him. It's important. Have that relationship that we understand. We don't want our God to be like our, a leader. We know his name, we know his position, but we know nothing really about him. We want to know the Lord and have a close walk with the Lord. Encourage those below us likewise the same. I mean, if you could live, I mean, you live and you have your kids grow up, and at the end of it all, after watching people and listening to people and talk to people, and you say, well, what if you could leave your children one thing, what would it be? He says, that they love God. And I don't care if they make $1 million. I don't care. Well, I hope they're healthy, but even if their health isn't great, but I want them to love God. I just want them to love God. Because you know, in the end, that is what is going to be important. If they love God, if they love the Lord, they're going to make good choices. If they love the Lord, things are going to work according to God's will. And it's very important. Verse number 30, I'll recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Who not better to pen that down there than the Apostle Paul? That's what I think. I don't know, but he knows. And the Lord had taken him, and you talk about the work that was done in that man. To change him into what God wanted him to be. Fearful thing. Fearful thing. Now, I love the Lord, but I know I want to be going his way. Absolutely know it. I mean, I absolutely know it. You do not want to be going your own way. You want to be, and that's the submission to God, just submission to him. Lord, what would you have us to do? What do you want me to do? Just show me how you'd have me to handle this today, whatever it is. And that's what we're speaking of. He has preeminence. He has first place. I'm not shaking in my boots. He's a father that loves. But man, I don't want to get out underneath that love. Then I'm going to get the switch, and I don't want that. I want to stay close and no back talking and no wondering and no thinking if he cares about it, because I know he does. I know he does. 32, but call to remembrance. Going back and thinking. The Bible says here, the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Everybody goes through that as a Christian. You battle the flesh, you battle the battles, you battle the Roman 7 battles, the Roman 6 battles. You look at it, you're trying to figure out, man, I love the Lord, but man, alive, part of me likes doing this, and I just wish that went away when we got saved. But man, the Bible, Paul says you fight that every day of your life. Every day of your life. Somehow we could live as Christians and live in dead flesh. That would be something, but we got to make that choice all the time. We're going to remember those. That's one of the blessings to be in heaven. We won't have to do that anymore. I just get so excited about that. I just, like, man, yes, it's a mental job every day. Have that mindset every day. Get up, read the Bible, get set in your soul, and get it all lined up right, and get it reset every day. and be ready to do what God would have us to do. But called to remembrance those days. After you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction. Well, you don't know anything about God. Things are going great. And then you learn about God, and you're like, oh, man, there's somebody that says thou shalt not. And you're like, whoa, man, but I shall. You know, I am. Well, you know, you can't be doing that. You got to stop those things. And we got to do it because God's asked us to, and we become a relative of His. And He has a plan for us, and that doesn't involve those things. 33, partly, whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly, whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. Okay, we're making steps in our Christianity, we're growing, and then if you remember back in the early part of the book of Acts, after the Lord's ascended and he's told the disciples that they're going to have to endure afflictions and they're going to be punished for preaching in Jesus' name. And the high priest got a hold of them and they said, well, you got to quit preaching in this name. Peter told them, there's nothing else we're going to do. And said, well, what are we going to do? And they scourged them and they sent them out and they all complained and went home. The Bible says they left rejoicing. And that's that growth there. Why? Because they understood it. They see it. When God says, this is how it's going to be, then we should just look forward to that. That this is how it's going to be. Oh, but it'll hurt. No, that's fleshly stuff. Fleshly stuff. Well, God's going to get glory for this. Well, do I got to put up a stink? Do I got to put a fight? No, just do what God would have you to do. Just do what He wants you to do. Bible says in verse number 34. And verse number 33, it is embarrassing, right? You'd be a gazing stock, be made fun of, reproaches, afflictions. It said it's not an easy thing. It's not fun being embarrassed. It's not fun having those things. But you just don't say anything, right? Why? Because it's a choice that they have to make. And you've made a choice. And it's no different than in Paul's day when Stephen was stoned to any of these other days. There'll be people watching you to see what you do. Will you turn and render the same, like the same? No, there's nothing different there. Or will you be silent and just, the Bible says, resist not evil? Will you let that? It speaks volumes. I mean, what people felt when Jesus didn't defend Himself, when Pilate saw the things that they, I mean, said, wow, it spoke to them. Let your communication that is silent at these times speak to people. For He had compassion on me, verse 34 says, in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. We're almost there in Matthew 6 in Sunday mornings, talking about our treasures on earth and our treasures that are in heaven. He had compassion on me and my bonds, took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. It's a blessing to see other Christians in need to be able to help them. It's a good thing. Good thing to be able to do those things. Knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. It's all going to corrupt. If you don't touch it in 20 years, you won't recognize it. It'll just be it just goes. Entropy just works that way. You look at it and be like, this is the new, you know, and I just, there's a few guys, you know, snow's barely gone places, and they already got the, I don't even know what it is, the 2022 model snow machine or whatever. They already got the next one, you know. Got 1,000 miles on this one. That's old hat now, and, you know, got the next one. What was my wife had a term for that. Double income, no kids. Dinks. Yeah, dinks. I'd never heard that before. I said, oh, that's pretty good. To get some of these guys, you're like, how are they doing? There's no kids there. Wow, that explains it. That explains it. Amen. Oh, amen. They're chasing that stuff and not investing in people. I had no idea what God was getting me into when I moved to Pasco, and And I have no idea. I'm just so glad I listened, and it wasn't because of me. It was just put me in the right place with people, and man, stuff's just gotten grown, and I had like no idea. You just make these connections, and you got different things, and super excited about that. But man, when you live for yourself, which was my plan. When I moved to Pasco, I told Pastor, because I took a position at Grant as a fish biologist, so I was going to work 9 months. I'd work 9 months on probation to get to be eligible to be hired permanently. All of us did. They were hiring everybody 9 months, and then if they liked you, they kept you on, and we were building all of our fish and wildlife plans for our FERC license for the next 50 years. So the dam was going to have to do this mitigation for different fish and wildlife species. So we had to go and write all these protocols, all these studies and stuff. And so that's what they hired us for, is do all this work for however many it took, I don't know, about three years or so to apply for this license so we could run the hydro for another 50 years. I thought, man, oh, so I'm going to get in there and do that and get stuff. I'm going to save enough money to four-wheel drive in a boat, and then I'm going to move to Alaska, and I'm just going to guide fishing because it's just that easy, you know. And after we moved up here, and I'd already, the Lord's plan was the one I chose. I look at all the fish runs that aren't here anymore, and I thought, well, that was my plan. I'm going to go because I don't have a season for them anymore. We caught too many of them back in the day. I don't know what had happened, but anyhow, that's the difference between choosing the Lord's plan and choosing your own plan. We know we have a better substance, more enduring substance in heaven. Verse 35, cast not away therefore your, what? Confidence in yourself? No, in the Lord. Give me a break. Alex Rodriguez played for Seattle Mariners back in the day. Seattle Mariners are known for getting the best talent and then trading it right as it's peaking. Get this kid, and he's going to be an all-star. Oh, let's trade him for three people, because that's been, they're all nobodies, right? I mean, they're just known for that. They just trade him. So he goes to the Yankees and, wins and all that stuff. Well, him and another guy are buying, I think, Minnesota Timberwolves. And Timberwolves first, as their draft pick last year. This kid's like 19, whatever. He's like, oh, it's Rodriguez. Who's that? He's young. He's only like 19, and I think he retired in 2016 or something. But he hasn't been. Who is that? Shouldn't be that way with the Lord. Who's that? Right? Confidence. I don't even know who this guy is. With the Lord, give me a break. And this comes from putting the Lord up against every situation, against everything that comes in your life, against every person, against everything that say you put it to the Lord. Put it to the Word of God. Put it to the Word of God. And He shines and He shines and He shines. And you see that, man, I can have confidence in Him. I can have confidence in Him. And look what the Bible says here about our confidence. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Nothing should be able to take that away. What happened? God got a cold? Did God forget? I mean, I love it when Elijah makes fun of the false prophet's gods. Louder. Far away. I'll joke around with people. I call somebody that's, some family member. I'll whisper on the phone. Speak up. I can't hardly hear you. You're far away. You're a long ways away. Just kidding. I'm fine. Everything's fine. But, let's be louder. He could be far. Can you imagine being those people? My soul. Confidence in the Lord. Confidence. Don't cast it away. Hang on to it. But you can see why a Christian would be that lost their confidence in the Lord. What would they be like? Would they be like a Christian? Or would they be like somebody that's questioning everything? I don't even know if I'm saved, and I don't even know if I'm this, and I don't know if I'm going to go to church, and I don't. Just no confidence! None! It's not about us. It's about Him. It's His plan. It's His program. We come to church, it's for Him. Well, I'm coming because, I don't know what to think about. You better figure out why you're coming. You're coming for Him. We do the things that we do even during the day for Him. Do not lose your confidence in Him. Do not cast it away. Verse 35 says, which hath great recompense of reward. Always does. It always does. Verse 36, for ye have need of, another great word, man, patience, huh? You have need of patience. Lord, doesn't the Lord just know what we need? Need some patience there, you know. Need some patience. Oh, that's why the Asian community does so well at fishing. They're just patient people by nature, you know. They'll just sit there all day and catch them. You have need of patience. The Bible says that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Just wait. Just be patient. You know, we think of the seasons of life. Life's so short if you look at it just in seasons, right? You're in the 37, by the way, which I'm not. I'm 38, so I'm past this now. They said 37 is the new middle age now. I just read that the other day. I don't take anything they say. I'm saying about 68 we'll be getting close to it anyhow. But 37, they say. I said 37. So people are they're still figuring stuff out at 37. You imagine having a midlife crisis at 37? I would slap those people. I was like, what are you talking about? 37. I'm starting to break down a little bit. I get my knee looked at. But anyhow, get up to this age. You got your kids. You're running around with your kids. You're doing those things. And then you get a little bit older. And then you can, looking at the end of your work years or whatever. And you retire or whatever. And then you get to where, man, I can't get around very much. I can't do a whole lot. And then, like, what do I do in here? And you fight different as a Christian. You do what you can. When you're younger, it's like you do more doing, and as you get older, you do more praying. And you do the things that when you're younger, you just don't think, oh, I'll you know. And but when you're older, you see that's what I can do. It's what I need to do. That's what should be done. And you have that patience, and you have that drive to do those things. And the Bible says, be patient, be patient. After you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And it changes. You think, well, I'm going to be this way. Oh, but no, you're going to change. You're going to be changed. I told my wife I could write a not an op-ed, but an article. How about how people I use the word evolve, not in the scripture, but evolve as fishermen and then devolve. Because when you're young, in respect of boats, the first time you're wading creeks, and then your first boat, anything that floats, anything, could be a tube, could be a tub, could be anything. Then you get your eyes on Grandpa's 12-footer, and it doesn't even have a motor, but you don't care because it floats. So you get the oars, you got everything, and bless God, you start getting a couple of jobs. You're like, oh man, then you start looking for a little bit bigger boat, right? And then a little bit bigger boat, and I can go through the whole rigmarole of how long and how big, and then you get older, and you're like, man, it takes a big truck to pull it. Man, that's a lot of fuel, and man, I'm driving at night. Those are long trips, and I don't really have to go that far, and then the boats get smaller and smaller and smaller. And pretty soon you're like, well, preacher, you got to watch out. You got to watch out. I don't get that boat out like I should. I should sell it. You know, I'm telling you that Ecclesiastes 12 there, we lose the desire. It's all gone. there goes the boat, right? And then that's how life is. We live as Christians and we grow and we do these things. And you're in seasons. It's more like a flower, I think. You know, it has that time. It grows, it blossoms, and then it has the other part. The Bible, we are related, or we'll say related. We are compared to grass and flowers in the Bible. That's what we're compared to. Right now, grass is ugly, right? And it's going to be up, and it's going to get smashed flat again. And that's just how it is. We look at our life. We need to do what we need to do while we're here and have total confidence in God. Not let any of that confidence be shaken. And again, it's not in the flesh. It is in one that is promised. It is one that goes nowhere. It is in one that doesn't change. We need to have patience. The Bible says 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. I told Nolan, I said, the days of Noah is what the Bible says. And I wasn't there. But everything I read about it, you read some guys, and it's almost like they were there. Like, I don't know how they write, It's violent, though. I know that. I mean, it was rough. There are people taking people's lives at the drop of a hat. It's just a rough, rough time. And the Bible says these times are going to be like that. It's going to be rough. What do? We just be patient. Be patient. We wait for the Lord. We continue. Have to continue. For yet a little while, and he shall... that shall come will come. It's going to happen. It is absolutely going to happen. 38, now the just shall live by faith. Right? Four times in the Bible, that's that sentence is in the Bible. The just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And would you, if you lacked confidence in God? No, I just don't think you can do it, God. The Bible tells us in chapter 11, without faith it's impossible to please God. Yet here in chapter 10, we're going to draw back. I can have pleasure in you. You don't even think I can do it. When have I messed up? Right? Then he goes and pulls that. That's what I like to do with people. You know, they say, hey, pull God's track record. Look it up. Check out the losses column. It's pretty impressive. Yeah, you don't even have one. Never had any losses. Well, how about any mistakes? Any shortcomings? No. He's flawless. Your confidence is in yourself, and that's why you're frustrated, because you wreck. I mean, you know, you can tell us. You're frustrated because you wreck, because you make the choice, and you stick it in the ditch. You can't blame God for that. That's us. Don't do that. Change your mind. Let God drive. Put Him in charge. Submit yourself to Him. Don't draw back. Have confidence. Don't cast away your confidence in God. Have patience. 39, we're done. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So when you read the end of this, don't think it's two groups of Christians. It's not. It's a group of believers, and it's a group of people that get close but won't believe. That's how six is too. They could be right here with us. People, they're in church with us at times. They come in, they sit, they watch. Some of them don't sing, some of them do. I wish you all could sit up on the platform and see some people's faces. It's just interesting to me. Look at somebody. I don't know how you can be in church and not sing. I don't know how that works. I'd like to go and just, you know, put it right on there, make sure they're ticking, you know. Are y'all right in there? I mean, God want to bust out of you, man, and just make a joyful noise. Don't even have to sound good. Just, but there are those, and we don't know. I mean, we don't know, and I don't desire to know. I'll usually just ask questions and observe and watch, and somebody, what do you think so and so say? It is tough, especially with young people. As young people, man, they can be all over the board. They got life. They got all kinds of stuff, and all I just say is just love them, show them grace, and be patient. And be patient, and be patient. Joshua is here. That kid, man. There's four of them. We started with them in fourth grade. They didn't get saved till the end of their senior year. I didn't know. They're the best kids we had. Yes or no, sir? Do everything you asked. Go and help you with everything. God, I didn't know they weren't saved. I didn't know. There was one young lady. I don't know if she listened. Who knows? Pressure, can I ask you something? Yeah, go for it. Well, suppose you have a friend. You know, you ever hear somebody asking for a friend? and I'm just as dumb blonde. I'm just as dumb as, like, holy cow. I come home and I tell Miss Garner, like, you know what? So-and-so has asked me to say, you know, I said, who do you think it could be? It's her! Well, come on, it's her! I was like, oh! The light bulb came on. I'm glad for wives. They're smart. But I was like, just how about that? Well, it just takes time. Think, well, here, you just got to do it. You don't know. And I tell kids all the time, my worst fear of those kids in Christianville, they're around the gospel all the time. And you just kind of get, I mean, you go to chapel every week, you're memorizing scripture every day, and it is just, can be good, and then on the other side, it could be just kind of, you get numb to it. I've heard that message. I've heard that one. Yeah, I've heard that one. I've heard 10 of those. I've heard that one. I've heard that one. And you can't get to them. And heart goes out to those ones. So be patient with them. Be gracious to them. Just give them a shot. Just keep. Right? You raise your kids. You bring them up in church. And they fly the coop. Just be gracious. Be kind. Give them a place to land. When stuff comes off, some of the wheels come off. Make sure there's a place to land. And I just tell you right now, I'll help. I'll work with anybody. I will help them. Give them a shot. Because what? Die bitter? Die unsaved? Is that great? Or would you say, well, what were they like down there? Well, Lord, they were as gracious as anybody could be. That's all we want. That's all we want to do. And give them a chance to receive it. And it's not like a, oh, you know, I'm not into that. I'm not into that. Let's see you grow. Let's see you make some choices. Oh, so-and-so, they, yeah, wonderful. That'd be great. Let's see them grow now. But when people are growing, you can't hold them back. They're calling you. Man, I read this, and the Bible says this, and that's good. That's good. You keep eating. You keep growing. You keep doing those things. It's exciting to see those things. And Father, we pray that you bless tonight our prayer time. And Lord, we want to be a blessing. And I pray that we'd only help people's confidence in you, our own confidence to grow. Lord, we pray that we would not trample underfoot, Father, the grace that you've given us. But we'd lift it up and we'd show it to people. We'd be gracious to others. Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you do for us. As you bless our prayer time tonight, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.